Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the great public radio producer and StoryCorps founder, Dave Isay, is back with us now, and for kind of a historic reason. His original StoryCorps booth at Grand Central Terminal, not Grand Central Station, is shutting down. StoryCorps continues as a national initiative to make us a country of oral historians, as Dave has put it, but the Grand Central booth, where so many of you have gone to interview your loved ones, will be no more. So Dave is here with a few highlights of StoryCorps Grand Central and one of its most celebrated interviewees, Annie Perasa. Hello again, Annie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's great to see you. Annie was here once before playing a clip from her, much heralded, and we'll remind you of why as we play a little bit of this. And Dave, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
You want to start by just maybe reminding our listeners why Annie's story is legendary in StoryCorps lore?
Sure. You know, we opened our booth in Grand Central Terminal on October 23rd, 2003, and our last interview is going to be tomorrow. We've done about 5,360 interviews, actually, to be specific, and probably thousands of those have been Brian Lehrer listeners. As you know, the booth really started on this show. You were there on the first day.
I'm proud to say that I did the ceremonial first interview, mm-hmm. which was with the great oral historian in his own right, Studs Terkel,
whose 96th birthday is today.
Wow!
Yeah, in Chicago. Happy birthday, Studs. But Annie Perasa, who the booth is named after in Grand Central Terminal, famously,
and Danny,
famously did an interview with her husband, Danny, in the very, very early days of StoryCorps, which I think we're gonna play. And soon after, 2 years ago, Danny was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and Danny and Annie had both become part of the StoryCorps family. And Danny was in touch with us every week and brought all kinds of people to the booth and brought Annie back to read love letters to Annie over and over again. And he was diagnosed with cancer and got sick very quickly. And we had a ceremony and we renamed the booth the Danny and Annie Perasa StoryCorps booth. And then the next week, Danny was too ill to get to StoryCorps, but wanted to do a final interview with Annie, which played the week after on NPR. Danny died a couple of hours after the interview was broadcast, but Annie got thousands and thousands of letters from NPR listeners, condolence letters.
I can't thank the public enough for what they did for me in condolences and made me. I still read them one a day. And if there's any more out, yes, one a day. Because Danny wrote me a letter a day, and I got over 3,000 letters. And I read them, and I can't thank the public enough. Oh, God, it's been wonderful.
Let's play a little bit of the original. Is that what we have? Is it the original?
Yeah, this
first?
Is Danny and Annie and talking Annie? About their first date, which had happened 25 years before.
The illness is not hard on me. It's just, you know, the finality of it. And him, he goes along like a trooper.
Listen.
Just to be clear, this is actually not what we thought it was, but this is Danny with Annie the week before he passed away.
My name is Harold Slappy. I am 91 years of age.
Dad, why don't you say your name and how old you are?
I'm Ken Morgenstern. I think 81.
That's right.
Is that right?
Okay, my apologies. We had some errors. Let's go back to the one that we started to play a minute ago, Danny and Annie on the illness, and we'll get this right. And then we have a montage of some of the other people from the StoryCorps booth.
The illness is not hard on me. It's just, you know, the finality of it. And him, he goes along like a trooper.
Listen. Even downhill, a car doesn't roll unless it's pushed, and you're giving me a great push. The deal of it is, we try to give each other hope, and not hope that I'll live, hope that she'll do well after I pass, hope that people will support her, hope that if she meets somebody and likes him, she marries him.
You know, he has everything planned, you know.
I'm working on it. I always said the only thing I have to give you is a poor gift, and it's myself. And I always gave it. And if there's a way to come back and give it, I'll do that too. Do you have the Valentine's Day letter there?
Yeah. My dearest wife, this is a very special day. It is a day on which we share our love, which still grows after all these years. Now that love is being used by us to sustain us through these hard times. All my love, all my days, and more. Happy Valentine's Day.
I could write on and on about her. She lights up the room in the morning when she tells me to put both hands on her shoulders so she can support me. She lights up my life when she says to me at night, wouldn't you like a little ice cream? Or would you please drink more water? I mean, those aren't very romantic things to say, but they stir my heart. In my mind, in my heart, there has never been, there is not now, and never will be another Annie.
So, Dave, let me ask you, not to embarrass Annie, why you think their story became so emblematic of StoryCorps for so many people?
Well, I think that Danny and Annie both personify so much of what StoryCorps stands for, the idea that the stories of regular people are the most interesting and important of all. And Danny was, and Danny and Annie, but I'll talk about Danny for a sec. Danny was, he was not a phony in any way, shape, or form. And I think we're surrounded by so much phoniness nowadays. Sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what's a commercial. And when you listen to Danny, you know you're listening to someone talk from the heart. And Danny was a great romantic, you know. He was not someone walking down the street who you'd necessarily peg as a great romantic. He was short and bald and cross-eyed and one-tooth,
right. But
was the most beautiful man you have ever seen walking on the face of the earth, and had more romance in his little pinky than all of Hollywood stars put together. And people got that. I mean, that's the beauty of radio. You know, you can't really hide on radio. You can't hide with the voice, and the truth really comes out, and people heard Danny, and they knew that they were hearing someone speaking from the heart.
Romantics in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, Annie.
Oh yes, we people would see us walking in the street holding hands, and they would say, "Oh, isn't that cute?" And we would turn around and say, "Do you like it? Why don't you try it?" You know, we would walk all over the, because he was a great walker. So we walked and walked and walked.
So in a minute, I want to hear why the StoryCorps Grand Central booth is closing. But here is a montage of various folks who have lent their voices to the StoryCorps booth at Grand Central Terminal.
My name is Harold Slappy. I am 91 years of age.
Dad, why don't you say your name and how old you are?
I'm Ken Morgenstern. I think 81.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
How did you get the job as doorman at the Plaza Hotel?
One of the doormen was sick, and they put the hat and coat on me, which fit very well, and they put me on the door right away.
As a youngster, I rarely went to a ball game because we never had any money to do that. But in the summertime, I would.
My mother, she didn't speak English, and she wanted to buy a colander. The salesman asked her, what was she looking for? Well, she didn't know how to say colander in English. So she said, macaroni stop at water, go ahead.
Did I turn out to be the son you wanted when I was born?
You've exceeded my expectations, sweetie. You were just so incredibly special to me. And I'm so lucky to have you as my son.
So I ran back to the bar. I said, oh, sweetie, your restaurant is right here. And I grabbed her hand. I remember my right hand grabbed her right hand. I wanted to make her feel special, like it was a limousine. It's a bus. And she said she felt like Cinderella. And she said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And today, it's the best day of my life. Just because I helped her off the bus. And I never forgot that woman.
What is the most important thing you have learned in life?
The most important thing that I've learned in life is the foundation of all happiness is love. L-O-V-E, love and respect for your fellow man. Because if you have no love in your life, you're not living. You're not living.
Voices from the Grand Central StoryCorps booth closing. What was the date that it opened, Dave?
October 23rd, 2003.
And why is it closing?
Well, we've been in Grand Central for 4.5 years. And, you know, I think we're in, I guess we're in tough economic times, and they need to put a paying customer in there. But the fact that they gave us a home for all that time for no money was for free rent was beautiful. And we were in the People's Cathedral, and it was the perfect way to launch. And, you know, this is not an ending. It's just, you know, we're still only beginning StoryCorps. We have a booth down at Foley Square right outside the door from One Center Street, where we're sitting right now. And I know we actually have one. We are all booked up for June and July, but there's one reservation left in Grand Central Terminal, I think, for this afternoon. We had a cancellation, so that's open. And we also have waiting lists. So I encourage people to come and participate in StoryCorps and become part of this movement of listening, of honoring and loving people in our lives by just looking in the eye and saying, tell me about your life, and listening to them.
So do you take walk-ins, or should one Brian Lehrer Show listener out there who wants to grab that open spot for this afternoon call a phone number?
Yeah, it's you can go to our website, to storycorps.net, storycorps.net, or call 800-850-4406. And we also have waiting lists, and we'll have more slots open up for July and August.
800-850-4406 or StoryCorps with an S at the end, .net. And so many of our listeners have taken loved ones to StoryCorps. People can still do that at the Foley Square, Lower Manhattan location. And are you around the... And I have to say, Dave, when you first told me back in 03 that you were moving from public radio documentary production, which you used to do so brilliantly, to creating StoryCorps as a full-time thing to do nationwide oral history, I thought it was a wild dream.
Yeah, everybody thought it was kind of crazy. I thought it was kind of crazy, but it worked.
Are you meeting your wildest dreams?
Yeah, this is it's unbelievable. I mean, we're one of the fastest growing nonprofits in the country now. We are all over the country, and it feels like we're at the cusp of a movement, and it's beyond what I ever could have dreamed of. But it's incredibly gratifying, and getting to, you know, see the impact it has on people's lives, like Annie and Danny. And that, it's making a difference in people's lives every day. And we have an incredibly dedicated, hardworking, brilliant group of people at StoryCorps now. We're about 100 people working on this and taking it through the country.
100 people. Andy, did you, based on your experience and how identified you became with StoryCorps, did other friends and relatives of yours also go and take their friends and relatives and do these interviews?
No.
Why do you think?
They were shy. And all we kept saying, Danny and I, to the family was, we have stories upon stories. The only person we got was my niece's friend, companion. And she came and talked about her job and her life story. But the rest of them, some people are very shy, and I don't understand why. There's nothing to be shy about. You go in, you tell your story, you have a few laughs.
Well, I think there's a fear factor here,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah.
I think that it's threatening to be a nation of oral historians and to bring in your mother or your son or your husband or your wife or your coworker and say, okay, this, you know, we're going to each interview each other for 20 minutes and get to the heart of something important. That cuts through so much of the artifice that we use to defend ourselves every day from hard realities that is probably really threatening for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think something else that is kind of scary for people is people hear these stories on NPR every week, and they think, how can I tell a story like this? And that's not what it's about. It's really about taking, you know, 40 minutes and turning off the TV and turning off the BlackBerry and turning off the computer
and talking to each other
and looking a loved one in the eye and talking to each other. And, you know, and it was, you know, I think that resistance is starting to be chipped away. And that's why we see our booths full all over the country. We see reservations, you know, when we open up in a city, disappear in, you know, 30 seconds, 35 seconds. People are really hungry for this. And I think we're kind of starting to get over that that resistance, which is great to see, because once you actually do take the time to come in and participate, I think we've done close to 20,000 interviews now, and I think it's safe to say that there's no one who's regretted doing the interview out of those 20,000.
No, you can't regret it. I mean, if there are people out there, if just to remind yourself of your loved ones and how you feel towards them, and in the privacy of the booth, you go.
Let's play one more Grand Central StoryCorps booth classic. This is 2 minutes of Julio Diaz, a social worker, talking about his experience getting mugged on a subway platform after his hour-long commute home to the Bronx.
So I get off the train, you know, I'm walking towards the stairs, and this young teenager pulls out a knife. He wants my money. So I just gave him my wallet and told him, here you go. He starts to leave, and as he's walking away, I'm like, hey, wait a minute, you forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people for the rest of the night, you might as well take my coat to keep you warm. So, you know, he's looking at me like, what's going on here, you know? And he asked me, well, why are you doing this? And I'm like, well, I don't know, man. If you're willing to risk your freedom for a few dollars, then I guess he must really need the money. I mean, all I wanted to do was go get dinner. And if you really want to join me, hey, you're more than welcome. So, you know, we go into the diner where I normally eat. We sit down in the booth, and the manager comes by, the dishwashers come by, the waiters come by to say hi, you know. So the kid was like, man, but you know everybody here. Do you own this place? I'm like, no, I just eat here a lot. He's like, but you're even nice to the dishwasher. I'm like, well, haven't you been taught you should be nice to everybody? So he's like, yeah, but I didn't think people actually behave that way. So I just asked him in the end, I'm like, you know, what is it that you want out of life? He just had almost a sad face. Either he couldn't answer me or he didn't want to. The bill came, and I look at him and I'm like, look, I guess you're going to have to pay for this bill because you have my money and I can't pay for this. So if you give me my wallet back, I'll gladly treat you. He didn't even think about it. He's like, yeah, okay, here you go. So I got my wallet back. And I gave, you know, I gave him $20 for it. You know, I figure maybe it'll help him. I don't know. And when I gave him the $20, I asked him to give me something in return, which was his knife. And he gave it to me. You know, it's funny because when I told my mom about what happened, you know, no mom wants to hear this, but with her, she was like, well, you know, you're the type of kid that always someone asked you for the time. You gave them your watch. I don't know. I figure, you know, you treat people right, you can only hope that they treat you right.
It's true.
That is a great story. That's an instant classic from the StoryCorps booth because it's only a month old.
Yeah, that was recorded about a month ago, yeah.
And it aired on NPR, and that guy got about 1,000 letters,
yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, yep. And again, you know, I think part of the power of – part of what we're trying to do with StoryCorps is that no matter – you know, we record stories from all over the country, from every age group, ethnic group, socioeconomic group. And when you listen to a story, I hope no matter how far the person is from you, you hear a little bit of yourself in that story, and you walk in their shoes just for an instant. And I think that's an incredibly powerful way to build bridges between people, and which is what StoryCorps is about and what public radio is about.
And Julio said, oh, bring my mother to the StoryCorps booth. I thought you said bring my mugger. All right. You, too, can be a StoryCorps participant at 1-800-850-4406. You can sign up for time at their Lower Manhattan booth, which remains, or sign up at StoryCorps.net, even as the Grand Central booth, which was the original StoryCorps location, closes after tomorrow. David, I say thanks again for founding this.
Thank you, and thanks to your listeners for giving this Grand Central booth life over the last 4.5 years.
And thanks for for being so welcoming to our listeners. And Annie, thanks for all the inspiration that you've
And to the public out there, thank you for taking care of me after Danny died.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.